Thank you, ladies. We haven't heard that special sound for a long time, so that's good. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what's on your heart for us in observing the Lord's Supper today, and I just ask that as you put on my heart that it be kind of a time of examination, that you would guide by your Holy Spirit. Before we know it, Lord Jesus, we'll be in your presence, not by faith, but by sight. And Lord, we want to prepare for that. And so guide our time here in your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read over this passage that from 1 Corinthians, where really the Lord, through Paul, has kind of laid out the importance of the Lord's Supper, and that it is for believers. It's for believers that are walking with the Lord. And there's warning in it that we don't do it carelessly, and that God, seeing our lives, that we are wanting things to be right with him. There are two phrases in there that I would just specially point out for just a moment here. And the first is in verse 27, no, it's verse 26, that we show the Lord's death till he come. What it really means is we're retelling the story till he come. And the thing that I'd remind us of, one of these days, if we continue on going to church, observing the Lord's Supper, sometime today's Lord's Supper might be the last time before we meet him. Just the expectancy that we have that we're going to meet the Lord. He's coming back. We don't know when, but we need to be ready. And the other is in verse 28, where he says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So as I take that, there can be a time of examination and a confession before the Lord, and a purposing to do it different if he shows you something as you examine yourself before the Lord. I've been thinking a lot, especially of Jesus' evaluation of the Ephesian church, but it really is all the seven churches that he evaluates. And what he sees in the believers there, and what's right, what needs to be changed. And I think one of the blessings is that he is giving this evaluation to them where they can do something about it here and now. I really believe that the judgment seat of Christ is another evaluation. And I especially thought about the Ephesian church. They came out of spiritual darkness. You know that they burned their magic books, their occult books, and the Lord just was blessing them. And I think there had to be such a love for Jesus Christ that he had rescued them. When he when he evaluated the church at Ephesus, he said there's a lot of good things, and I'm not going to that passage right now, but you're a very strict church, many things like that, but you've left your first love. And the reason I bring this up, and I guess I've mentioned this afternoon, I want us to think a little bit about the first love, and maybe your experience of your first love for the Lord Jesus, what he did in your life, how he rescued you, whatever. But the thing is, at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe he's going to evaluate those kind of things, but it's not that we have time then to change things. There's going to be a lot. It's a reward time, but it's also a time of loss. And the way it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I just want as I was thinking about that, and we need to stop and think about what it will be like for me personally, meeting with the Lord Jesus personally by sight. Here we do it by faith, and we have to live by faith. And we believe with all our hearts, Lord Jesus, you're right here with us today. But it's by faith. But you think about that you personally, me personally, are going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ face to face. And I think we need to think about the reality of that and let it impact our lives here and what how we order our lives preparing for his coming. I think one of the sad things at the judgment seat of Christ is to hear that. You have done this, you've honored me this way, but to be able to hear, you dropped your first love for me. And we don't want that to happen. We want to prepare, and that's why I think it's so important to have a time of evaluation, and I want to just lead us in a little bit of that here this morning. But anyway, I think of 1 John 2:28, which to me is a precious verse, where John says, "Now I say unto you, if you abide in him, you can meet him in confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." It's obvious from that verse. I didn't quote that just quite right. I want to do that. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he doth appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." John really says there's two possibilities here. You can, if you're abiding in him, you can face that in confidence. And I think what it's like, and I thought about this years ago with the superintendent of Central Christian. We got away on a night and talked about coming up with kind of a guideline and of what the school was all about. But it hit me that night that you can be walking with the Lord Jesus here by faith, and the very next moment, you're just in his presence. And now you see him. Here you loved him and walked with him, but now you're in his presence and nothing changed except now you're with him. So, but then there's also the possibility, John says, you can be ashamed. Never want the Lord Jesus in his coming to pull us out of a sinful situation, out of a situation where we're embarrassed to meet Jesus because of what we're doing and what we're thinking and what we're involved in. And that's why this morning I just want us to ponder that and think about how important it is to prepare for his coming, to prepare to see him. And I appreciate that John shares, you can do it with confidence. If you are walking with him, abiding in him, and trusting him, and visiting with him, and know that he is in you and you are in him, you can meet him in confidence. That's what God desires for us. What I want to do is go to Colossians 3. Mary and I have been working on some of this chapter for our scripture memory. And it's a helpful of some of the things that Paul is saying you need to be sure and be ready to meet him. And the way he starts this chapter is, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead," that's identifying with Jesus Christ. When you were baptized, you went under the water, you identified with his death. "But you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And then he says it this way, "When Christ shall appear," it's in verse 4, "when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory." And I just want you to stop and notice that a minute. When he appears, then you will appear with him in glory. The very next thing he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And what I want to just briefly look with you through this chapter, it seems like what he's saying, that your life is hid with Christ in God, and when he appears, you're going to appear with him in glory. These are some things you better make sure you take care of so you're ready to meet him. And I think that's kind of the takeaway of why it's therefore. So it said, you're going to appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. And what he's saying, there are certain things that you have in your life been involved in or are involved in, you need to put them to death. And I see that, just like there's a couple other passages that talk about there's certain things that just need to be put to death. There's other things you just need to put off, other things you need to put on. And so these are some things, just if there's some of this in your life, deal with it, get it done. Romans 8:13 speaks about the Holy Spirit putting to death things in our life. And I've shared this with you before. And those that are wrestling with things that they just can't seem to break away from. And the areas that he talks about, it's sexual uncleanness, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, but it immoral relationships. But I think in this category, and one of the dangers in this day for especially Christian men is pornography. It's a secret, hidden kind of thing, but I realize, because there are those that have sought help from that, that that's something Christians get involved in. So he says, mortify that. If there's those kind of things, you don't want to be involved in that when the Lord appears and you're caught up into his presence, either by your death or by his coming. So that's something that I believe a way of operating in that is to come before the Lord and say, I invite you, Holy Spirit of God, put that to death in my life. I cannot break free from these things, but I need you to do it. Sort of what Munger was talking about in his My Home, My Heart, Christ's Home, and he said that hall closet. He said, I can't handle it, but I give you the key, and I need that cleaned out of my life. So that's one of the things he said, to be sure that your life is free from that. And then in verse 18, he says, put off these things. In other words, stop doing them. And I think in the category of mortify, it's something that is so bound in your life that you just need the Lord's help to destroy that thing. But he says, stop doing these things of anger, wrath, malice, and other translations say having grudges against somebody and wishing them harm, blasphemy, bad language, stop lying. And as a Christian, you know we need to be committed to truth. We're going to meet the Lord who is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and we will be meeting him face to face. So Paul is saying, put those things off. Then down in verse 12, he says, put on. So he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, which is really compassions for others, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, have patience with one another, forgive one another. He says, put on those kind of things. And really what he is saying there is, be like Jesus. Live like Jesus lived. One of the things that I think would be so important at the judgment seat of Christ and meeting with the Lord is for the Lord to say, you really did behave like me. That's what God wants us to do. And that's what he's calling us to do. Put on that kind of, and I would just quickly say that's going to be in the power of the Holy Spirit, of his fruit and his working in our lives. And then he comes where he says, now to let some things happen in your life. In verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he says in verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I would just share how it is put in the New Living Translation. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It really is walking in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives. Then he gets down to wives. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. As I talk about wives and husbands, I want to just remind us that that behavior is so important to Jesus Christ. And the reason is it's God's picture. We've been recently reading in the Old Testament another picture. Just to remind you of the importance of God's pictures, that rock that Moses struck gave water comes over that Paul shares that rock was Christ. And it's a picture of him being smitten to give us life. And you remember another time the people were thirsty again and complaining, and what God says is, speak to the rock, it'll give water. Moses is very angry and upset, and so was Aaron. What they did, they struck the rock, and that made God so upset. It's his picture. You do not strike him again. He's already been struck. You speak to the rock. And what happened? Moses didn't get to go in. God showed him the land, but he said, because you disobeyed me in that picture. And there's a last verse here in this third chapter. It says, God's no respecter of person. And it's just a reminder to me, Moses was so special to God, and he spoke to him face to face. But when he violated the picture, he suffered for it. Now, probably not too bad that he showed him the land and then he died and went home to be with the Lord. But that was an anticipation all of his life to get to take those people in. But he violated God's picture. And I just say that because marriage is God's picture of a husband and a wife. And so a wife is like the church in submission to the Lord Jesus. And the husband, and I take that out of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And in the verse to husbands, he says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I looked in every other translation, says, don't be harsh with them. Love them as Christ loved the church. And I'll just say this, I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord Jesus is going to talk to me about what kind of husband I've been. And I would just say, wives and husbands, be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife on this side of glory. God will talk to you about it. Jesus will talk to you about it at the judgment seat, I believe. Either it's going to be honored for the way you did it, or it's going to be brought up. You violated my picture. So, and then he goes on with husbands, wives, and then with children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't discourage your children. Servants, work as unto the Lord. And then I just want to, those last three verses, before we close it here. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong for which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. And I just, when I read that verse, no respect of persons, I think Moses is such an example of that. He was such a special person to God. But then when he didn't do it right, he did suffer for that. So before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I would just remind us, back to that verse in 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. What's that mean now? It means that Jesus is in us, we are in him. But if we abide in him, we're in fellowship with him, we're walking in the light, we're confessing sin when we do it, we depend on him, we trust in him. And if you're abiding in him and things are right between you and him, you can go home in confidence and not be ashamed. If there are things that somehow, and it seems to me that Paul was saying a lot of things to the Colossians here, you're going to see the Lord, get these things right now before we come before the Lord Jesus and him evaluating us there. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for privilege, first of all, to be born into your family because of what you did, Lord Jesus, to open the way, and you took our hell and our condemnation for us there on the cross, and we can be in the family. But Lord, also we need to examine ourselves. We want to come home with peace and joy. And so that depends on our walk here. And we just kind of hurriedly going over some of the things that Paul shared with the Colossians. And Lord, I would just say, if there's something that needs changed, that can be confessed right now and purposed by your grace to do it right, to live it right. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for my own life that we would live in a way where we're pleased at any moment to go home and be with you, Lord Jesus. So I just ask that you would work in our midst, that we would walk as you walk and live as you live. Thank you for doing it for us, Lord Jesus. I pray in your name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. And Lord Jesus, I just pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here, that we would walk in a way that we're abiding in you and can meet you in confidence. Lord, I pray you'd work that grace in and through our lives. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.